The federal government is trying to broker a deal for the sale of the Liddell coal-fired power plant owned by AGL. Vocal backbenchers, as well as those inside Cabinet, want Liddell to continue operating beyond its slated closure in 2022 to prevent an energy capacity shortfall. Two companies, Alinta and Delta, have expressed an interest in buying Liddell, but AGL has ruled out selling the ageing plant in the past. Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for Environment and Energy. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Nice to be with you, Patricia.
Descendants of Sir John Monash have put out a statement, and in fact, we've spoken to one of the descendants. People will hear from him soon. They're not happy with the use of their name for this backbench group. They said in a statement this afternoon, and I'm quoting, "We disassociate ourselves specifically from the forum's use of the Monash name to give their anti-science and anti-intellectual argument an air of authority, and we ask that they withdraw their name." Should they withdraw the name?
Well, look, that is a matter for my colleagues, but Sir John Monash is a personal hero of mine and Australia's greatest citizen soldier and somebody whose memory we should protect and promote. And indeed, I'm part of the push to have him posthumously promoted to Field Marshal because I don't think he was fully recognised for his feats on the battlefield in World War One. So his name is synonymous with technology and progress, and I believe that if he was looking at today's energy system, he would see the opportunities that are available, not just from renewables, but also other forms of demand response, behind-the-meter technologies, the internet and the like, and he would be capitalising on those technologies to drive a more reliable and affordable power system.
So given all of these descendants have got together to put out this statement, should the backbenchers change their name?
Well, that is a question for my colleague.
But do you think they should, given the descendants so strongly feel the name has been basically taken on for ideological purposes?
Well, I only believe that my colleagues have the best interests of Monash at heart, to be honest. I think they respect his contribution as much as I and anyone else in the Parliament does. And it's true that he was able to use the technology of the day to turn the brown coal of the Latrobe Valley into a real competitive advantage for Victoria in power generation. So his memory needs to be promoted and preserved. That being said, the question of using his name for the Monash Forum is one for those parliamentary colleagues to decide.
Have you had any contact with the descendants?
I haven't. Obviously, I've had a close relationship with Tim Fisher, the former Deputy Prime Minister, as he's been the one leading the charge for the posthumous recognition of Monash, and I know that he talks to their family and to other members of the Monash Supporters Club.
Well, while they're still called the Monash Forum until they possibly withdraw, we'll see. This idea they have of Hazelwood 2.0 at a cost of $4 billion to the taxpayer. We've heard comments from the Treasurer and others, including you, on this. Tony Abbott said this afternoon, it's true that new coal stations are more expensive to buy power from than old coal stations, but even new coal is still quite a bit cheaper than new gas, and it's much more cheaper and much more reliable than wind and solar. Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly the costs of those technologies do differ, but what we've heard from the Australian Energy Market Operator is that the cost of wind and solar is now being seen at around $60 a megawatt hour, whereas the cost of a high efficiency, low emission coal-fired power plant is $80 a megawatt hour or upwards. Now, Tony Abbott is right to say that wind and solar are intermittent sources of power and coal can be provided on a 24/7 basis as long as there's a supply of coal available. So they are different technologies, but at the same time, the costs of renewables are coming down so rapidly that it does provide stiff competition for thermal types of generation.
We've seen reports today of Scott Morrison being scathing of the Monash Forum via the Cabinet's WhatsApp chat group. I'd love to be in that chat group. Is that true? Has this ginger group angered the front bench?
Look, I am not certainly going to comment on...
Are you in this WhatsApp group?
Well, I'm not going to... I'm a member of the Cabinet and I communicate regularly with Scott Morrison and all my Cabinet colleagues, and I'm not going to comment on the specifics of any communication, other than to say my colleagues have a right to speak out on issues that are important to them. For a long time, many of them have been speaking publicly about the need for coal to play a key role in the energy mix. You won't hear from me a demonisation of coal. It has served Australia very well in the past and will continue to do so in the future. But my focus, Patricia, is about creating the right incentive for investment into the future. And that is where the National Energy Guarantee plays a key role, because it is technology neutral. Coal, gas, renewables with storage all have a role to play, because ultimately having a technology neutral approach is the best way to deliver lower prices and a more reliable system.
Have you at any point offered any kind of subsidy or sweetener to Alinta or Delta to make buying Liddell more attractive?
No, I haven't.
So can you guarantee that no taxpayer money would be spent on this potential deal?
The government's not looking to provide incentives or subsidies to Alinta.
Not a dollar?
We haven't said, we haven't planned, we haven't thought about doing that. What we have focused on is ensuring that there is no shortfall in supply in the market were Liddell to close in 2022. Liddell provides energy for more than 1 million homes across New South Wales and supports some of the large industrial energy users like the Tomago aluminium smelter. And by taking out this 1,800 megawatt facility from the system, the Australian energy market operator, who's got no political axe to grind in this battle over energy policy, has said that there will be a shortfall and that this would hasten the likelihood of blackouts across the state. Now, from the government's perspective, that is unacceptable. That is why we've called on AGL to financially commit to all three stages of their replacement plan. That is why we support the National Energy Guarantee to resolve some of these challenges. And that is why our preferred option is for AGL to stick to its commitment earlier in the piece at the end of last year to sell Liddell to a interested third party. And in this case, it could be Alinta.
You say that, but AGL say they want to keep Liddell running till 2022 while they build new capacity. And the deal that's been offered is for a takeover this year. So that's the sticking point, isn't it?
Well, firstly, Alinta is the fifth largest integrated energy company in Australia. It supplies more than a million customers. So it's a very credible player. And they have partnered with some of the biggest manufacturers in our country, BlueScope, Brickworks, Cement Australia, CSR, and others. What they are proposing to do is have a discussion with AGL and put in a formal offer for the asset, and to provide AGL with the support and the generation that they may need from Liddell in the years to 2022, but to keep it running beyond that date for another 5 to 7 years. Now, Andy Vesey told the Prime Minister, he's the CEO of AGL, he told the Prime Minister last year he was prepared to sell it. He then retracted that and said he had in place a three-stage replacement plan. He has not financially committed to those three stages, and that is why the energy market operator has said there is going to be a shortfall if action is not taken. So from the government's perspective, our priority is jobs, keeping the lights on and prices down, and that's why Liddell being sold to a party like Alinta does make a lot of sense.
AGL doesn't have a formal offer. If they get the formal offer, which I know you've said they're going to get, if they get a formal offer and they decide to reject it, what can you do about it?
Well, they have a fiduciary duty to act in the best interests of their shareholders. That's a duty that the CEO has and senior management has.
And if they make the decision that it is not in the best interests of their shareholders and they don't want to sell it because they want to keep it, as they've said, to 2022, what can you do?
Well, you're asking me to hypothesise about a hypothetical.
Well, you're saying you're trying to put pressure on them and say that you'd like them to do this, but they're a business. They make their own decisions.
But they're also providing a necessary, essential service to your listeners across Australia. And we've told by the independent energy market operator that there will be a shortfall in the market were Liddell to close in 2022. We've got a credible third party that has joined with the biggest employers and manufacturers in Australia, representing some 300,000 employees, both directly and indirectly. And they want to sit at the table and put forward a significant amount of money to purchase this asset just to keep it going for another 5 to 7 years. You have to ask yourself, why is AGL changing its position about the quality of this asset? They went out of their way to tell Australia that the asset was in disrepair and we had no future. Now they're saying it's a critical part of their
infrastructure. But can you do anything about it other than do interviews like this where you put sort of public pressure on them?
Well, we would like this to be a commercial negotiation and we would like AGL to have a constructive discussion.
And if that commercial negotiation doesn't go the way you want it to, what can you do? What levers do you have?
Well, let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
You must have assessed this. Do you have any way to go to actually intervene here?
Well, I think the board, as well as management, has a responsibility to put an offer to its shareholders and to properly consider it. Let's not forget that the remediation itself of the Liddell power plant is a significant cost. Let's not forget that when AGL purchased Liddell a few years ago, they put it on the books as having zero value. And now they're not wanting to sell it to another party because they say it's of extreme worth. Let's just wait and see where these negotiations go.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you so much for your time.
Good to be with you.
That's the Energy and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg. And our number here is 0418 226 576. That's the text line. What do you make of what Josh Frydenberg is saying? And should AGL take this deal? It is, of course, a commercial negotiation, as Josh Frydenberg says, but the government's made it quite clear what they want to see happen. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.